updated. I hope he hasn't changed his name or anything. He is ESPN's SEC blogger, Edward Ashoff.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Oh, man. Hardly had any dust on it at all. Edward, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Very good. Of all the interviews you do around the country, do you have a better open than the one here in the zone?
Absolutely not.
See?
That's the best. I think it's the best open in radio, really.
I don't know that there's any argument there, to be honest with you. I hope
can't
you are
go wrong with that song.
I hope you're still a fan of the song, I was going to say, because we'll have
We'll
have to recut you a new open for 2013 once the season starts.
On my gym mix, don't worry. The top one.
So have you jogged by any movie sets? Last time we talked to you, you were jogging by the set of Anchorman 2.
No, although they are filming the second Hunger Games right now, so I'm hoping that Jennifer Lawrence will see what I'm doing in town. Maybe want to hang out, grab some food.
Is Edward Ashoff a free agent? Are you a
free agent?
Okay.
Very much.
I don't know if Jennifer Lawrence is, but I mean, look, who could resist your charm?
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is looking for somebody to walk down the red carpet with her, right here, in the flesh.
Not the aisle, just the red carpet.
Oh, even better.
Oh, well, you're willing to make a serious commitment, Edward. Big Baby, make sure this audio gets in the hands of Jennifer Lawrence. We have connections. We're actually talking to a big-time movie producer later today. Maybe we'll put in a word for you.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so post-spring report. What did you take away from all the spring activities around the SEC? And that's a pretty broad question, admittedly, but I'll let you go wherever you want with this. And obviously, we want to talk about Arkansas specifically, but when you look around the league, what'd you take away from spring?
Oh, I still think it's Alabama's world. I think that's the biggest thing to take away, because Nick Saban was actually happy about the way his guys finished spring, especially with that offensive line. And I think that that's what a lot of people were kind of worried about in Tuscaloosa, replacing three draft picks, two guys who went in the first round. But it seems like that line really came along this spring, and I think Cyrus Kwonjo has a chance to be, the best offensive lineman in the SEC, and he's definitely a top five pick next year at left tackle. So the fact that Saban was happy about that, he has some more firepower on offense because Chris Black is coming back into the offense, and a lot of people think that he's more explosive than Amari Cooper, who, if you talk to people around the league, around the country, some NFL scouts, they think he might be pound for pound the best wide receiver in the country. Now, Marquise Lee, I'm sure, has something to say to that. And there are a couple guys in the SEC who will be challenging him as well. But I think Amari Cooper is really, really going to put his name out there when it comes to the All-American list. So I still think Alabama is the team. Their defense, they're still looking for those playmakers that they've had in that front seven for the last few years. They're a little thin there right now, but Kirby Smart's going to figure out a way to have them prepared for opening day. And I think the other thing is, you look at the SEC East, and a lot of people have said, can anyone from the East finally beat Alabama? Obviously Georgia was so close last year. I think that Georgia's going to be able to score 40 points every game. I think they're going to have the best offense in the SEC next fall, with everybody coming back on the offensive line. Aaron Murray's back. Todd Gurley and Keith Marshall. Keith Marshall's bigger. I mean, he's a lot bigger than what he was last year. Doesn't seem like he's lost any speed. He still ran track this spring. So I think that they're going to have a very good backfield and receiving core there. Their defense is really, really young, though, but that's a team you don't want to play in November. And I think Florida and South Carolina are going to have elite defenses. South Carolina does have to kind of pick things up at linebacker, losing their two deep there and then some holes in secondary. But they have the best player in the country in Jadeveon Clowney. So, that makes up for a lot behind him. And Florida's offense is obviously the big question mark there. But I think those three teams, if they get things going and they win some tough games against the West opponents they're facing this year, I think one of them could upend Alabama. We'll see. I don't think Alabama goes undefeated. They have to play Texas A&M early.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas A&M is going to have an offense to score points. They have a lot of questions on defense, losing five starters in that front seven. So I think that those are the top teams right now in the SEC. I think LSU is going to be fine. on defense, up front at least. But if Jeremy Hill can't play this fall, I think that's big because he's a game changer. I mean, he's a guy that you talk about being one of the best running backs in the SEC, and he really came on strong last year after missing a whole year of football.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if he plays, LSU's offense is going to be much better. But I think those are the biggest things. The new coaches around the league, there's a lot more energy at all those schools. But I do think you're going to see struggles at Tennessee because they still have not figured things out on offense, and they're having to bring in that up-tempo. And I think that's really hurt guys, especially with inexperienced quarterback and wide receiver. And, you know, I think Arkansas, the big thing with them is that they have to be more physical up front. That offensive line has to be stronger, and that defensive line has to really pick up where it was last year. And I think that they really like what they have up front. So those are two good foundations. But depth at linebacker, wide receiver, and now Brandon Allen, you know, pack him with pillows. He can't get hurt next fall because they don't have anyone behind him.
Yeah, and we talked about that. That's been kind of the big issue. And if he stays healthy, no big deal, you know, with Brandon Mitchell leaving. If he doesn't stay healthy, it's a huge deal, like you're pointing out.
And I still think, you know, losing Brandon Mitchell is a big thing because, you know, I talked to Brett Bielema before the announcement, and he said, I mean, he's a guy that you can put pretty much anywhere. You can put him at wide receiver. Obviously, he's not going to be as explosive as a regular guy, but, you know, he can make some plays. He made some last year. I think he's a good wildcat quarterback. He's a good change of pace quarterback. And you know, in this league, you've got to have multiple guys at multiple positions, and you're an injury away from seeing a bowl chance slip right out of your hands. So I think losing him is a bigger deal than a lot of people were thinking.
As far as Texas A&M goes, everybody knows that losing Joka will be an issue. And you mentioned, you know, losing some other pieces of that puzzle for them. But, you know, very well coached. You got the defending Heisman Trophy winner. What kind of drop-off, if any, do you expect from A&M? Because I know a lot of folks who expect Manziel to be brought back down to earth after what was a dream season last year.
I don't think anybody would really be surprised if they fell off by a few games. I mean, they have a tough schedule. Alabama's obviously going to be looking for revenge. They have to play at Ole Miss for the second straight year. They have to play at Missouri, which, okay, yeah, Missouri wasn't good last year, but if that offense can get things together, it's a home game. Traditionally, they've played well at home against Texas A&M. We'll see what happens and what kind of team that is at the end of the year, but they don't have an easy schedule. And I think losing all those guys up front is going to be a bigger issue than a lot of people think because they just don't have the experience at those positions like they had last year. And granted, they gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards on defense, so they're thin now. I mean, talking to Kevin Sumlin, he understands that. He was happy with the attitude, but they still had some injuries they had to deal with up front, and that wasn't good. I mean, they lost three starters this spring to injury, so I think it's kind of a wait-and-see thing with them, and obviously a lot of people are going to know how to game plan Johnny Manziel this year. LSU and Florida gave them the blueprint, really, and Alabama in the second half shut him down for the most part, except for two beautiful passes. So I think that Texas A&M is going to get hit with a little bit of reality this year, but it's tough to count out Kevin Sumlin. He's a great motivator. He's a great X's and O's coach, and they make the offense really easy. They don't have a lot of plays out there. When you have a guy like Johnny Manziel that can improv a lot, and I think that, you know, if he develops more as a passer, that's really going to help them. And to have Mike Evans back, I think, is big, but they have a lot of young guys to work with over there on offense.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. When I look through these lists here, I mean, you've got so much coming back. And look, it's the SEC. You know there's always talent. But, I mean, there's so many household names at running back and at quarterback this year that return for schools across the league. Which position do you think is deeper for the SEC starting the season out?
That's tough, but I think it's running back. And I think you just look at Texas A&M, for example. They have four guys who could start at pretty much any school outside of maybe Alabama at running back. I think that Trey Williams is a guy that's really going to step up, but you look at Brandon Williams, who played at Oklahoma, they think he's the real deal, and they think that he can be the guy that takes the reins from Bimbolina and really hits it hard this fall. And then you have Trey Carson, who's an Oregon guy, shifty guy. So that right there shows you how deep Texas A&M is. And you look at LSU, you know, if Jeremy Hill comes back, they have three legit running backs, Alfred Blue being healthy, and Kenny Hilliard coming back as well. Florida has four guys that they think that they can hand the ball off to, and one of them hasn't even stepped on campus, and Adam Lane. And I really think Matt Jones is going to be a surprising star in this league because he picked up the playbook faster than a lot of freshmen do at running back. He was teaching guys plays and going through progressions with the offensive lineman this spring, and he's a freshman. He's still technically a freshman. So I think that he's a tall guy. He looks more like a linebacker, but he's tough. I think he's going to have a big season. You have Trey Mason coming back at Auburn. Mm-hmm. They have some guys there as well. Obviously, Alabama has 400 running backs that they can use, and they're all going to play substantial amounts of time this fall. So
really
I think
fair.
Running back right now, I think every team, for the most part, has a pretty good running game coming into the season.
And, yeah.
and even Missouri, Henry Josey, I think, is a guy. If he's healthy, I mean, he's one of the best out there.
What do you think of Jonathan Williams? He didn't get a ton of opportunities last year, but and really made a couple of big splashes as a pass catcher more than a running back. But I don't know how much you've gotten the chance to see him, but what are your thoughts on him and maybe his potential for cracking the 1,000-yard mark this year?
I think the coaches are pretty excited about him. I think that he's a tough guy. I think he fits that offense really well. I mean, they want to pound the ball. They want to be really, really physical. And it seems like a light bulb kind of turned on for him this spring. And I think that they know what they're going to get out of him, and that's big, especially you know when you have an experience there, a quarterback, you got to find somebody who's going to be able to carry the ball, you know, 20, 25 times consistently. And I think they've kind of found that in him. I think that he's somebody that they're going to be able to hand the ball off to at will to get them out of bad situations. Now, obviously, spring practice can only take you so far, so he's got to keep that mental edge. But I think that team has a huge chip on its shoulder right now. And they want to be more physical. And I think that you saw a little bit of that this spring, especially out of him.
Okay, how many 1,000-yard rushers, if you had to predict right now, in 2013? It sounds like you think a lot of these schools are going to be splitting up carries between backs. But you had guys like Gurley go over 1,000 last year, even with another great backfield mate. How many guys do you think go over 1,000 this year?
Let's see. I'll go with Gurley, Mason, Joe. I'm gonna say Josey. And I know that you know he says he's 100%. We'll see. In Missouri's offense, it is what it is. But Kendall Lawrence, who isn't as explosive, got 1,000 yards. I think Matt Jones, Yeldon, Gurley. I don't know about Jeremy Hill because I don't know if he's going to play. But if he were there, I'd put him on that list.
I'm going to assume he'll be back. I mean, it's not like he killed someone. And in today's society, which I'm not giving him a pass for what he did, but I'll be shocked if he doesn't make it back before the season starts. What about Perkins at Mississippi State?
I think that he has a chance to do it again. They bring back a lot on that offensive line. But the thing with Mississippi State is all brand-new wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they have a veteran quarterback coming
right.
back. But can they open it up enough in the passing game so that people don't stack the box? So I'm a little iffy right now on Perkins because of those guys. I don't think Jeff Scott gets to 1,000. You know, Ole Miss spreads it out so much. They have three backs that they can use. And they're a passing team. I think that, you know, he's going to hover around that 750, 800 mark. Let's see. I think one of the running backs at Texas A&M will, I think it's going to be Brandon Williams, too. I think he's a big-time playmaker, and he's going to take some pressure off Johnny Manziel. I don't think Johnny Manziel gets back to 1,000 yards, though.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen. The SEC won't allow a quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow couldn't do it once. I don't think Johnny Manziel will do it twice.
Who's faster, Florida running back Matt Jones or the guy who hosts the show after this one on our station, former Arkansas Razorback quarterback Matt Jones?
That's tough. I saw Matt Jones in person in 2004, I think. 2004. Yes. That was the last year Ron Zook was at Florida. And I saw him make some big-time plays in that game where they almost came back and won.
Well, not to diminish Matt's performance, but a lot of guys made big plays against Ron Zook's teams at Florida when he was there.
Well, that's true. But he looked pretty impressive in that game. I'm going to go with Matt Jones, though. This is a track star. This is a guy who ran track in high school, and it seems like he's gotten faster since he's been at Florida.
Florida,
so
Matt Jones, you're saying. Okay.
Florida,
okay.
Matt Jones. Okay. And he's younger, too. So
that is true.
There.
Yeah, I'm not saying right now. I'm talking in their prime. That wouldn't be fair. Matt's actually become quite a very accomplished amateur golfer now, so I don't know if he runs too many 40s anymore. You had a write-up on the website. Again, that's ESPN.com. For those of you who have not heard of it, you should check it out. It's pretty good. Bob Stoops taking shots at the SEC, which to me, it's dumb for two reasons. First of all, it's an argument you can't win. Second of all, it's something that people have done in the past, and you should know that you can't win. And then on the other part of it is, he didn't even make a good argument. It's like, if you're going to take a shot at the SEC, which you know you can't win, you need to at least have some sort of decent argument. Here's what he told the Tulsa World. It was quoted in your story. So they've had the best team in college football. They haven't had the whole conference because, again, half of them haven't done much at all. I'm just asking you. You tell me. They haven't had the whole conference. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? They haven't had the whole conference win the national championship? What I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. And I like Bob Stoops, but I don't get that.
Yeah, and I even wrote, you know, the SEC apologized for having 14 teams and 9, which I was a journalism major, all right, grew up in the South, so my math isn't great, but I'm pretty sure 9 is more than half of 14 there. So they had 9 teams go to bowl games last year. The Big Ten or the Big 12 had 9 as well, out of 10, pretty good, but I'm pretty sure I've wrote that 4 or 5 had losing conference records. Only one of the SEC teams that made a bowl had a losing record in conference play, and that was Ole Miss. They won their bowl. The SEC went 6-3 in bowl games. The Big 12 went 4-5. You look at the winning percentages since 2006 in bowl games. The SEC is at 656. Now, they're not playing each. They played each other once in a bowl game. So they're playing other conferences. They're playing major conferences. And they have, 21 wins over top 25 opponents in bowl games since then, 11 of them against top 10 opponents. So, the SEC has had 58 winning programs since 2006. The Big 12 has had 52. Those are the only ones that are close. Everybody else is in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else the SEC has to prove. 12 of the regular SEC teams outside of Missouri and Texas A&M have all made at least 2 bowl games since 2006, and they've all won at least one of those bowl games.
I would much rather poke at somebody than preach to the choir, but I can't help but preach to the choir on this one. He goes on, he says, so you're listening to a lot of propaganda that gets fed out to you. You're more than smart enough to figure it out. Yeah, we've already figured it out. The SEC is far and away the best conference, and there's no discussion here. Find something else to talk about. Then he says, what did we have? 8 of 10 teams in bowl games this year? No, 9. You don't even know how many teams from your own conference made bowl games, and you're trying to argue that your conference is as good as the SEC. Now, Bob, you're better than that. Come on, man. I'm wondering if he is totally losing it. Is he losing it?
Yeah, he is. He's from Oklahoma.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, but he's definitely not quite all there right now. I mean, again, if you're going to take a shot at something like that, that's like trying to make an argument that LeBron James is not the best player in the NBA right now and then going, well, look at his shoes. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't even mean anything. What are you talking about? That's stupid.
Well, his shoes are pretty bad.
Admittedly. But he had the good sense to change out of them at halftime, didn't he?
Yeah. I'll give him that. And I agree. Hey, the SEC saw 4 coaches get fired last year, but top to bottom, it's cyclical. You're going to see teams fall out here and there at the bottom because it's a totally different league. It's a totally different league from some of those others. And you look at the Big Ten, I mean, this is my only question to anybody who questions if the SEC is the best or not. If the SEC isn't the best, then which conference is it? Because now you're having to take all these other conferences that haven't combined for a national championship win since 2005. I mean, the SEC has won 7 straight BCS titles. If it's not the best conference, Somebody please tell me which one it is so that we can end the argument.
The only other conference that can make a case to being better than the SEC would be the NFC or the AFC.
True.
Okay. Let's move on. In the inside, I saw Joe Shad had tweeted out yesterday that Brandon Mitchell may end up. And again, Brandon Mitchell's one of those guys, and we're a little closer to it than you are, since we're here in Arkansas. He's one of those guys that typically when a guy leaves, fans want to wash their hands of him, but Brandon Mitchell is a kid that's so likable, and he helped the basketball team. He did everything right last year, accepting a position, playing receiver to help the team last year. He's been such a positive guy that everybody's kind of rooting for him still, I think, so we'll keep an eye on where he ends up. But Joe Shad tweeted out, NC State, South Florida, UAB, and of course the UAB tie is obvious. We also sort of, consider maybe Idaho or Western Kentucky with Petrino's being in each of those locations. Other possibilities, he says, La Tech and Northwestern State. Now, as a guy who works closely with Central Arkansas, the last place I want him is at Northwestern State because I don't have to play against him. But La Tech would seem to make some sense. It's a fun offense to play in, certainly. I guess he's going to go visit NC State. So any additional schools you think that might be a fit for him?
I do wonder, at NC State, Jacoby Brissett won't be playing this fall. So you know, I think he has to find somewhere where he could start immediately or just doesn't really make sense. But I do like the spread offenses that he can go into. He's obviously a spread offense or a spread option quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me to see him at UAB. It wouldn't surprise me if he wanted a crack at Arkansas. I'm sure he's not that kind of player but or person, but, you know, competition is what it is.
Sure.
And I talk, you talk to players all the time, and even if they're competing with their best friend, they want to beat him. So I don't know, but I think anywhere that has a true spread offense where he can come in and play immediately, I think that's the best fit for him. And obviously UAB with Derek McGee there, that's probably got to be pretty big for him. So
mm-hmm.
We'll see. I hope he lands on his feet. Any of the interactions that I've had with him have always been good.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, he's a guy who's helped that program. And at the end of the day, he wants to do what he loves. And I'm sure that he loves the University of Arkansas. But he wants to play football. That's why right. He went there.
And I can explain why sometimes it feels like sour grapes and you don't really root for the kid, and sometimes it doesn't. But in this case, he didn't win the job. It doesn't feel like sour grapes. You'd love to see him go chase his dream. I don't think he projects very well as an NFL quarterback. I would think that from a physicality standpoint, he could provide something as a receiver at the next level. But, you know, he's got his own vision and he's got to chase his dream, and I wish him well. So,
yeah.
All right, Edward, good stuff. We appreciate you very much. What's on the agenda this summer? Are you going to get out and do anything fun?
We'll see. There's some pretty fun projects that, you know, I have to keep under wraps right now.
Like work stuff you're talking about.
For work.
Yeah. What do you do for, like, what's your go-to for summer vacation?
I'm going to Mexico for a wedding, so a lot of my money is going into that fund.
I understand that.
Probably go up to New York. I'm a big New York fan. I have some friends there, some really close friends, so try to get there. Maybe go see some family in Iowa, go through Missouri a little bit to see some friends. So,
I'm sure
a lot of road trips, really.
Yeah.
A lot of road trips. Going to check out the mountains here close to Atlanta, get away for a little bit.
I have to make a trip to Iowa this summer as well. Where's your family? I think we've talked about this before.
Cedar Rapids and Iowa.
Oh, that's
City.
Right.
So
that's...
Brett Bielema and I have that Iowa connection.
There you go. Yeah, so do we, except for I was at the wrong Iowa school, so he will not be a fan. But
no.
Nevertheless. All right, well, man, we appreciate it. We'll catch up again here down the road.
Sounds good.
And if you have a new open song for the fall that catches your ear, let us know, and we'll get that together.
We'll see. I got to see maybe something from the Great Gatsby soundtrack.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yes.
We'll see.
Okay.
The opening sets up everything, so
that's it.
That'd be pretty important to me.
Look, we aim to please, my man. We're easy.
All
right, we appreciate it. Thanks, Edward.
All right, man.
Take care, man. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com. A couple other notes here before we take a timeout and come back and talk a little baseball with R.J. Hawk. Our friends from Cajuns are coming up today as well. R.J.'s going to be there on the deck tonight holding it down, and never has he been happier to not do the morning show than he was today and tomorrow so he can get a little rest.
It's going to be rocking tonight because I'm going to have a lot of energy, no waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so bring your party hats because we're having fun tonight. We're playing Battle of the Sexes. We're playing a little birthday trivia. We're giving away $25 gift cards to Cajuns. It's going to be a party, and plus we're going to be on the deck. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I don't even have a party hat. I need
you don't
to
have a party hat? Everybody's got a party hat.
I have a birthday suit. I can't wear that out
there.
A couple other notes here. Felix Jones apparently.